Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Episode should be fun and exciting. The question is, if you played the game of life as a child, are you where you plan to be today? Now, if you remember in that game, there was a couple of choices, including anybody having the option to buy stocks, fire insurance, life insurance. It was a teachable lesson. There were common jobs in that game like doctor, nurses, and business entrepreneurs, but there always was the possibility that if you planned poorly, you would end up in the poor farm. Before I get into that topic, I want to mention something. I opened up my mail today, and I haven't donated to the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. Probably, I've donated to two individual candidates in the last 10 years, a minimal amount. But in the state of Minnesota, you get a $50 rebate if you donate to the Minnesota GOP Republicans or the DFL. So, in other words, if you donate $50 to a political party, the state of Minnesota Department of Revenue gives you a refund in 6 weeks. So it's kind of like an incentive just to donate to a party. I'm not really sure what the original reasoning was behind the legislators who conducted this program, but it's been around for over 25 or 30 years. With that, I'm going to bring in Ben.
Hi.
Hi, Ben. We have Don calling in, probably John, and maybe Albert.
Okay.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for calling in and being patient. And Don just popped on the line. So what do you think of my my theme idea tonight? I thought we could maybe keep it a little lighter and then we can divert into other topics that are current in the news.
I'm sorry. You're going to have to say what the theme was again. I wasn't really paying attention until you said hi.
Okay. So as you know, there's been some internal struggle with our co-host, but John and I resolved some of it. The question is, if you played the game of life as a child, are you where you plan to be now? So let's say in the game of life, it was the game where you went around the board and you got married, you had children, you had the option to buy stocks. You could pick a card randomly to either become a doctor, a nurse, a teacher. And some people ended up in the poor farm if they didn't plan their money right. So the question is, I know that you went into carpentry, but are you where you want to be as according to what your original plan was? And after you answer the question, I'll bring in Don.
Well, I never played the game of life. I played Monopoly, but never played life. And I don't think I would have planned my life based on a board game either.
A theme tonight. It's just a theme. It's nothing too clinical.
There's always room for improvement. I would be happy doing something that made me more money because that gives you more financial freedom, which is freedom. So.
Right.
I'm
and I do know some
satisfied.
People who retired in their 40s.
Yeah, I've built houses for people who are wealthy in their late 30s. So, yeah, just
depends. Well, I'm
going to
give you the scenario. Just So, you became a carpenter at what age? Was it a young age, like 23?
Something around there. I've done a lot of jobs. I've done a lot of like blue collar type jobs. So I have experience that it transfers from one profession to another. A lot of the same skill set I use in all the jobs that I've had.
Okay, well, before I pull Don in, I'm just going to give you a general impression. When I was in sixth grade, I wanted to be an evangelist, and my parents wouldn't let me go door-to-door witnessing after vacation Bible school. Then when I turned 16, I started running my junior year for the cross-country and track team. I went from fifth in the team to fifth in the state, and I got five scholarships. And I was never planning to go to the Olympics or anything, but it was a stepping stone. And I always knew that I wanted to help people. So I wasn't sure what I wanted to be, but I did have a vision to eradicate racism and help the poor. Well, then I went to North Carolina Central as an exchange student, and I was the only white person living on campus. And then after that experience, when I got out of college, I married someone, and I was a Navy wife, and I worked in public housing in Virginia, and that was kind of like my dream job because I was helping the poor. At the same time, I was observing what it was like to be a white person. You know, like just the whole history of our nation on how black and white people have interacted. And I was kind of protected from that in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, where there was only like one black family. So I think I went down there with some distortions. But by the time I lived in Virginia, I was 23. I got married at 23, and then I got the public housing job at 25. And then I was kind of like you, Ben. I went on to do a great number of jobs. I went from public housing. I became a park ranger. I worked for the Department of Defense. I worked at the LA Times, the American Red Cross, blah, 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 blah. Then I had a kid with a heart transplant, and she died. And then after that, my whole life went in a different direction, and I went into child care for 5 years, and then I had another kid. And then I went back to the West Coast and got into grad school, and I worked just other jobs like Washington Mutual, the U.S. Post Office. I worked with John for 3 years or 2 years, and I didn't really get settled till I moved back to the Midwest. So my life plan didn't go at all as planned because, A, I didn't really plan it. The only planning portion was being married and having a child, but that didn't work out either. But I kind of subconsciously, purposely never planned. And I wouldn't recommend that to people. Like, I know people who have their life sewed up in a neat knot, but I wasn't that kind of person by any stretch. So with that, I'll pull in the other two co-hosts, John and Don. Hi, Don. How's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going fine. Just tired driving down to Vegas this weekend, driving back and having the conference, a lot of information. And then took today off and just cleaned up my house. So we've got almost to where we can say, hey, we've been so busy we haven't cleaned up in about 2 months. So I'm just getting ready to go to bed.
And John is on the line and he's at work. So the minute I get him on the air, I'm going to ask you what your life plan was and did it go accordingly. So just hold on a second. Hi, John.
No problem.
I know you're at work, correct?
Yes. How you doing?
I forgot to tell Ben and Don that you and I are planning for another child.
Oh, yes.
In vitro.
Definitely. Yes.
Otherwise, we're going to adopt a child from Thailand like Angelina Jolie.
We'll have him raised political non-gender binary.
Just adopt one of Don's kids.
Yes.
All of his kids are grown. They're like, Don's kids are like from 26 to 35.
That's the best kind of kid to adopt.
Really? I would like maybe a 10-year-old.
What about
so,
you?
John,
you forget
what is
about
your
all
crunch?
This.
Oh,
you forget,
go ahead,
you forget
Don.
About all the, no, you forget about all the bad habits when they get past 25. Bad habits.
I know,
but
some of them because Shannon's on my Facebook wall. Don has one child who likes. She's a professional fire dancer. She like, you know, she's one of those people like that. She spins fires around.
Yeah, it is.
So, John, you're at work. Would you like to go first since you're on crunch time about what your life plan was and did it go according to schedule?
Well, when I was about 19, I kind of figured out that music was going to be what I was motivated by, but also I was raised very religious, or I would say Christian. So that was kind of the whole goal, is just to be about God, share the message of Jesus Christ to a planet that needed salvation. That was kind of the whole goal. And musically, that just seemed to be an easy way to communicate it. I would play in different bands, and churches would ask me to perform. And since I was kind of the lead vocalist or the front person, I would take that opportunity to start talking, and I would, you know, like, it's kind of a free way to get on the platform. Since I didn't have religious degrees or training, it's kind of like when a celebrity or entertainer starts talking about politics, and it's like, why are they qualified to? Well, it's just because they have a stage and people are listening to what they're doing as a performer. So that was kind of the thing, and all musical paths lead to L.A., and that's where I ended up. And from there, people around me kind of got sucked in by the L.A. thing and kind of blew up everything. So it's
you mean like
kind
just
of
the pursuit
happened.
Of stardom?
Yeah, a lot of people just can't handle the whole culture. It's the temptation, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, whether it's just partying, or just even just the whole thing of fame. Like, they got to be the lead singer. They got to be what it's all about. They can't share the stage. They can't share ideas. Yeah.
Okay. So
and John did make it onto the main stage, like the Whiskey Go-Go and stuff.
I've done just about everything in every place at most every level except the, like, stadium, 50,000 kind of level, or the national TV level. We did work with major people such as Paramount and Sony, and our ideas were definitely stolen by, WWE and by...
That happened to Don, too, with his screenplays.
Yeah. Because if you don't have a good agent or attorney, a music lawyer, you're like a sheep ready to get fleeced. And that's exactly what happens if you don't have good representation.
Yes, I wanted to say that somebody that John and I worked with, Sebastian, he was in a group, and his group sold a song to a movie, Swim Fan. And what was the name of his group again, John?
It was Portable. And
yeah.
The lead singer Chance, he actually auditioned for, after Guns N' Roses broke up, Slash started up a band called Velvet Revolver, and they actually auditioned, they had open audition, and Chance actually auditioned. They gave him three songs. He had to write words for it and show up and just sing, and they would record it, and they would take the best, 10 people and kind of pick and choose. And they eventually went with Scott Weiland, who was from Stone Temple Pilots, I believe, who had a terrible drug addiction problem. But they went with Scott. Yeah, and then I'm trying to think if he's still alive, to tell you the truth. But Chance, unfortunately, didn't get the audition, but they were very close to hitting the big time with that.
Oh, the other thing I was going to add before Don went is, when I was 12, I never planned it. I thought maybe someday I'd visit L.A., but I didn't plan to live there. And then, like John, I got in the epicenter of the entertainment industry. Like, two people in my church made it big in Hollywood. So when you're around that kind of scene, you just end up meeting more and more and more people. But, Don, was your life... Oh, go ahead, Ben.
Scott Weiland died in 2015.
That's what I thought.
And where were you from,
Don? What was your life plan and from the age of 12 till now, and does it coincide with what your vision was?
Oh, okay. In a lot of ways, yeah. And the way I got here, hell no. I just wanted to know before I go into that, John, where are you from? I don't even know.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
No, I just wanted to know where were you
from? You said, where are you from?
Oh, from the Bay Area, San Jose. And actually, before we came to L.A., I was married, and my wife was a singer. And it was kind of like Sonny and Cher or Donnie and Marie, although we were more serious. And that was always an issue because the industry wanted either a male or a female lead. They didn't want couples because they thought it was a joke, the whole Peaches and Herb and all these different groups were kind of like not taken seriously. And we sought representation. We actually, Brian Rohan, who is a music attorney in the Bay Area, who represented Eddie Money, Santana, Jefferson Starship, just go to any Bay Area act he repped. And he liked us, and he actually, we signed with him. And in that process, we were sending tapes on the side to, this back before the CDs were really popular, And we got a music attorney was interested in us, and also they wanted to interview my wife for a job. So we came down just for a weekend just to, you know, look around. She did an interview and nailed the job. And once she got the job in the music entertainment law, we thought, well, we don't need Brian Rohan to represent us. Problem was, because she was working at the firm, there's a conflict of interest, you know, for her to try to get repped or to connect. You know, it's kind of like if, you know, your boss doesn't want you trying to shop and get a record deal for yourself. So it kind of killed us dropping Brian to represent us, and also kind of killed us being inside. We're so far inside the belly of the beast that we couldn't, it was counterproductive for us. It would have been better if we had outside representation. So that's
right.
How we got stuck.
Right. Well, anyway, I always dreamt of growing up having a family, a relatively large family. And so it was something that probably a goal that saved my life because in college I was kind of in a way the big man on campus and at Marquette University. And so I got into the journalism part of it. Political science is my minor, and philosophy and theology. So I was on my radio station at school and doing a lot of media work as an intern, things like that, and moved to L.A. because I couldn't find a job in broadcasting. So I thought I'd be able to enter broadcasting easier in L.A. And instead, I got into the media with sales. I worked with at the L.A. Times. Jane worked there for 9 years, and in all that time, I was again leading sales, one of the leading sales big man on campus. So I got wanted to get some. I started my family and wanted to start making money and being pretty mobile. So I was asking for raises and found out that I was making less than everybody there when I was taking home awards. And it was just stunning to me. And it was my first understanding of inequality. So I asked for a big promotion, and they wouldn't give it to me. So I kind of pouted. I would say about the same time that a couple of my screenplays got stolen. And I realized that the people who lived in Hollywood were crooks and cronies and oppressive and everything else. So I kind of just said, okay, let me move to Reno. And I've been here 29 years. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, and wouldn't move and wouldn't go anywhere else because of the clean air, clean water, the beautiful sights, the nature, and just everything is, I'm able to be creative. So, in a way, I came back and did what I wanted to do, have a relatively large family with 5 kids and 7 grandkids. But the way that I got here was actually stunning because of the things that I do with the people I knew and the places I could go. So, yes. But in a roundabout way, my dreams have come true, yes. My planning has been correct.
So where should we go from here, you guys? Now, like, we could compare what societal demands as far as making money. Like, some people may have bypassed their dreams to take on a better paying job or something of that nature. Or we could talk about how maybe the expectations of the modern world has maybe jaded our own life applications. For example, as John knows, I got into a gambling addiction because I was basically trying to make more money even though I could have easily afforded my $57,000 income, I mean, I could have afforded to live like that. But then on the other hand, I know people in Duluth who are on SSI who have gambling problems. But now that I am a bona fide workaholic, even though my schedule is better now, I don't do overnights, I still put work, from a secular point of view, I put work before family and church. Because now I have to work 12 hours a day every weekend, both days, and I have to schedule time off to go to church. So I don't feel like my priorities are fully in order. How about you guys?
Well, I mean, you are able to still prioritize your interests and do what you need to do, so I don't see a real problem. Scheduling time off to go to church is the one thing that I can't believe that you can't find an alternative, or you maybe do. You didn't mention.
Well, here's the problem, Donna. The principal of my school asked me to come in an hour earlier this year, which meant I had to give up my overnight job. So my overnight job afforded me the ability to work and make all my social commitments like Toastmasters, church, and my 12-step meetings. Now that I am working two day jobs, I had to give up. I can go to one 12-step meeting a week. I can only go to Toastmasters if I switch days with somebody, and I can't go to church unless I ask for time off. But you have to understand, I work in a field where you don't get time off often, and there's a lot of people not volunteering to take your shift. So it's 100% crapshoot.
Right.
Now,
and
I know
I
John
that.
Schedules, John works 6 days a week, but he has Sunday mornings off.
Right, and see, I understand all of that. And the thing is that you could have avoided it by not taking that other job or giving up that other job.
Well, I'm 59 years old. Two major health insurance companies in America rejected me for life insurance. And I get, I found out this year at the school job, which is only 25 hours a week, I get retirement and $64,000 life insurance. So I basically need both jobs, but I could scale back on the group home job.
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to be able to make it. The economics of the central banks and the money cabals is set up to be a slave. And so, in other words, for you to keep up with inflation, you'd have to make about $150 an hour because things have gone up 10 to 20 times. And so that's the whole gig, is it's now slavery. It's not like, you know, a couple hundred years ago where you go out, you grab some land, you settle it, build a house, you know, you start your own business or your trade, you know, maybe you're the blacksmith or you're the farmer or whatever. And it was rough life, but you could support a family, right? It's like mom stays home. My mom stayed at home the first, you know, 8-10 years of my life. You know, she could. And she was always busy and you know, doing things, but she didn't have to earn a paycheck to support that. We had a house. And we, you know, we got by. And I was talking to some kids today in a line. I just said, you want to buy a house now in L.A., West Side? You know, that's over $1 million. You finance it, that's $3 million. How much money can these kids make? And we have to have school loans and car, and they get a girlfriend, and she gets pregnant. It's impossible. There's no way. No way. And that's one issue. And the other issue is the spiritual moral thing is, you know, marriage. You know, so you want to get married? Are you kidding? You know, you think that will work? If either of you get assets and money and then one person gets unhappy, you know, they'll divorce you, then you're paying child support and you lose half what you got. And it's you know, you're more than 50% it's going to happen. And it'll happen a second time, too, even after that. You know, if you get divorced and remarried, happen again. That breaks the person. I mean, you cannot, it creates hopelessness for people. And, you know, people have lost their faith. in family, in marriage, and in the country. So a lot of things have to change. Now, for me, I'm
that's
towards
true,
the end
John.
Of the,
one thing though is I'll take my own responsibility. If I hadn't have taken out all those payday loans, I could have saved an average of $15,000 a year. Because in Duluth, my rent is only $450 a month because I split it in half with a roommate. And my car insurance is $90 a month. Like, you guys pay a lot more to live out there on the West Coast than I do. So some people have an uphill battle. But you've managed to make it on a smaller income, too.
Right. You know, I've worked, you know, two or three jobs at a time. I've worked, you know, 6 days a week, no vacations, no sick leave for 3 or 4 years, just constantly grinding. I don't have kids. I don't spend money wildly or crazy. I use coupons. I go to the 99er. You know, I live a very frugal life. I can't even imagine a person that's got all kinds of, you know, medical problems, stuff like that. I mean, how would you make it? So I can relate to, you know, the trauma that is called America. And we're in the 1% of the planet. The rest of the planet lives far lower standard than we do, too. So we're very blessed in the middle of all that.
Ben was the one who said there's more cell phones than clean water. So, like, I'm not even talking about status now. I'm talking about just survival and dreams. But go ahead, Ben.
Well, yeah, there's more people with access to a cell phone than there is people with access to clean water. And that's a fact. It doesn't have to be that way. I'd be willing to bet there's a lot of people with access to an AK-47, too, that doesn't think much about their clean water.
Well, it was just a parody,
like,
you know, like about the world, because I don't know, I was looking at some country the other day who, it was one of those places that had a disaster, and, you know, like, people are more worried about posting selfies on social media than dealing with the immediate community around them. Like everybody has a contingency on how they want to, you know, be part of the world community. A lot of it has to do through the internet, not all.
The world community. You got to bring that word into it. That's perfect for today's news. Did you want to talk about stuff that's going on today?
Sure. We have a 90-minute show. I just wanted to start out the show on a happier note so we could understand each other better. And go ahead and divert into a new topic.
Did you guys see that young Swedish girl that just became, she just became
Greta?
The news today? Yeah, Greta. Greta
I know
Thunberg.
That this weekend there was demonstrations all over the world for climate change protection.
Okay. So what I was going to bring up, do you guys remember our show where we touched on the UN Global Agenda, the initiatives, UNESCO controlling our school curriculums and basically giving pamphlets on how to run every system in the world. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it funny that it's working?
Could you repeat your last statement? I got sidetracked.
We did a show where I think I read some of the UNESCO agenda.
Yes.
The UN agenda, whether it's Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, all of these, they give out the pamphlets. These people that you don't elect, there is no elections for these people. They just become bureaucrats in charge of controlling civilizations and trying to, they're the ones behind the open borders. They're the ones behind the climate agenda activism. They're the ones behind the transgender and the money behind the gay marches. And all of this stuff is connected. If you read,
their own documents. Disarmament.
Right,
you that's
and
a big one.
One time John and I did a show, and he had like 21 points of UNESCO that we went over one by one. But on some levels, I agree with everything what you're saying, but I do think as far as promoting gay rights and stuff, that's initiated at the local, national, and international level. I don't think it's just generated through UNESCO.
I'm not talking about gay rights, because that's a human right is a right.
Right.
And that I'm talking about the money behind the activism creating the culture that's being driven by something bigger.
Well, I do think that I'm not saying they made too big a deal about that Greta girl, but she stood up at a major conference, and that's how she got her notoriety. I think she might even have been a candidate for the Nobel Peace Prize, but then, like, her population was on fire. Her popularity was on fire, kind of like that girl who got shot between the head in the Middle East who wanted to fight for women's education.
Right. Well, this girl, somebody put her on stage. Somebody gave her access. And it's no surprise to me that her family is connected. Olaf Thunberg, her grandpa, was a director, and her mom is an opera singer. It's not like she just developed all these ideas on her own. She had a connected family that shaped her, and to come on our soil and accuse our politicians of robbing her future and her childhood when it's her own family connections that created what she is, they're the ones that robbed her of her childhood.
Right. I just want to mention when she was 15, Greta Thunberg took time off school to demonstrate outside a Swedish parliament, holding up a sign for a stronger climate action, and then other kids followed. And then she addressed the 2018 United Nations Climate Change Conference, and that's the one. That's the speech that gave her the popularity ticket.
Well, it's fine that she makes a speech, but the problem is her lifestyle and everyone connected to her is totally the opposite of it. If she wants to go to go to the Aboriginals in Australia and send a message by a pigeon, or put a bottle, put a paper in a bottle and float it across the ocean, that's her message. But the problem is she's taking money from George Soros and other people. She gets flown into places. These people, like with the Davos Convention, 12,000, or I think it's about 12,000 people fly in on private jets. They don't believe what they're saying. They're living the dream.
Can I find a job like that?
They don't go to third world countries and live in huts to show us how to live this, and by the way, I'm fine with that. I actually like the Amish lifestyle. I'm just saying they're promoting, they live a different lifestyle, and they expect you and me to live different than them. And it's hypocritical. It's a sham. It's fake.
Well, the thing,
it's phony.
She's only the only thing, I agree with you, I wanted to tell you something that would make you and Ben laugh. She was in a school strike movement featured in a 30-minute Vice documentary, and it was called Make the World Greta Again instead of Make the America Great Again. It was titled
Right.
Make the World Greta Again.
There's been some pretty creepy information coming out about the movement that she's a part of. Somebody did a compilation of a protest that she was a part of, doing the exact same hand motions and the same chant that was in Orwell's 1984 movie. So they're actually living it out. It is weird. And there's people, like, as soon as... So I wouldn't want my child to be
on America's stage or on the world stage at all, because that brings out critics of anybody. Like, you put anybody's
kid
up there.
I do think we are in a climate crunch, but I don't think the world's going to end tomorrow because of it.
Okay.
The problem is going to be, we have this financial situation where we're in debt, the whole world's struggling. We're actually doing much better than the rest of the world, but like Europe is struggling, and Russia's struggling, China's struggling with the tariffs. And then we have people running for office saying, listen, we're going to just kill everything, like the oil industry, cars, planes. We're just going to wipe it out in 10 years or redo it all. And then they say, and we're struggling as it is. Well, we're doing the best we've ever done in 4 or 5 decades. So they have to make up their mind. Are we doing the best by the records, by the fact that we've ever done, or are we doing terrible? If we're doing terrible, then why are you going to cut everything that's created this wealth and this prosperity that these third world countries don't have? Because if you think it's bad now, you cut our economy in half, you know, you gut out all our profits, and we are going to be in the streets. We're going to be like Venezuela. We are going to be like Cuba. We're going to be like a lot of these places that are just so, even Russia, you look in the 90s, they starved themselves out. I mean, they just, China, they were terrible poverty, and they finally adopted capitalistic ideas with the communist government, and now they're booming. But before then, they were just, you know, terrible.
Well, the world has changed a lot, John, and I do want to mention one thing. Sorry, Ben, I'll just make it short. Remember the anti-student protest demonstrations of the early 70s? It was kind of like someone lighting a match and on a rope and it going all over the country. Like, all of these groups were organic. Like, they created the Student Democratic Society, or SDS, on campuses, and they didn't have, like, fancy telephones or social media. And it was like an organic revolution based on a belief system, but also it was also a need to express to the government what they wanted to do and what they wanted from our government and the disparity. And that was kind of admirable, but now it seems, the way you guys are talking tonight, that some of these campaigns for social justice matters are too well coordinated.
Yeah, it's not organic. It's being manipulated and created by the authority powers that created the problems that they're creating these kids to go solve. Like, literally, they're telling the kids what to say and paying for all of the accommodation it takes to move these kids around to do the heavy lifting of the politics. They're making the PR campaign.
So what do you think their end game is, Ben? What's the end game? Is it to bring awareness to the issues?
No, it's to dominate. They want domination like they've always wanted. They want one world government where there's a pinnacle on top of the same families that have been in control forever. That's what they're trying to create. That's why they want open borders. They want to put a bull in every China shop they can to create chaos. So then kids like this will go out and cry and say, people are suffering, people are dying. We demand that the government take action. That's what they always say, no matter if it's a gun crisis or a phony climate crisis. They always say the same thing. They read the lines that they're supposed to read, and then they say, we demand that the government take charge. That's always the message. And if you drop the borders of every country that's sovereign,
let's say people watch Netflix and they watch all these cool documentaries and they're inspired, but what if their cause has no real impact? What if they can't change the mind of one government?
What's your question?
Like, what if it's just a bunch of hoopla? Like, let's say America never joins the Kyoto Protocol, or that country B never reduces their gas emissions? Like, what happens if their cause doesn't change what they're trying to do? Then what? What's their next plan of action?
Well, they're wasting their lives. They're wasting their lives getting into politics when they should be being kids, and they shouldn't be blaming governments and activist leaders for giving them the funds to be out of school and then saying that they should be in school while they're telling you how bad you are for polluting their world.
So
if
how
Greta
many Greta
really
Thunbergs
do
you think there really are? I mean, I don't
they're
think
everywhere.
There's that many kids
it's
missing
millions.
School for that kind of stuff.
Have you seen all of the marches that happened? This is
not
part
recently,
of the UN agenda.
No.
Well, New York was
no,
the
I
biggest
haven't.
In the world, but they were worldwide. The climate march was worldwide. New York was the biggest one. And that's actually written into the UN agenda to basically amp up these kids, make them so afraid of climate change that they want to leave school to go yell about it in the faces of adults. And I've seen my governor do it. He's one of these people. He'll go around to elementary schools and teach
I've never met a kid under 15 that says, you know, climate change or global warming is a hoax. Every kid, you know, I'm giving them, I ask them if they want a plastic bag. And, oh, no, we got to save the planet. And the mom looks at him and says, that's right, you know, that's good, you know. And they'll even argue. The mom will say, but we need that plastic bag. And she says, no, mommy, no, we got to save the world. And the thing is, and then I tell them, well, you can always recycle the bag. You know, I'm with you, you know, hey, I'm all about the children. But you can recycle the bag. And I said, you know, 90% of it comes from China and Asia and Vietnam and other countries where they just throw plastic into the water. They don't know the facts. No one tells them. They just told us.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like
China has a terrible policy on environmental, like even their efficiency with building buildings and using environmentally friendly materials. Like there was a new thing that came out recently, and Ben probably knows something about this, that they're building a lot of wood, a lot of furniture and stuff out of hemp. Like it's a new trend. Like,
yeah.
What does China know about stuff like that?
Right, and that's the other thing is you just go in the store, go into Target, go into 99er, Dollar Store, go into any place, Ross. Look at the tag. You know, it's made in China. It's like, well, how do they process this stuff? How are they? What's their pollution like over there in China? It's like,
yeah.
They don't care.
Why do these kids come to America?
How about
America
their labor
to
laws
shame
too?
Us? What if she really wanted to talk to people that you know her efforts could be put in a better place. Like she could go to China and have that same speech. She could go to India and have that speech. She
you know
could go
what
to
would
Malaysia.
Happen? You know what would happen?
I don't think they have
there.
The kind of environment there that they're really welcoming.
She would have to
exactly.
host her podcast from a prison in Sing Sing. That's where she'd be.
It's
right.
Just like that Malaya girl or whatever her name is with the bullet in her head. Her headquarters are in London now. She's not going to go back to Pakistan and get on a bandwagon. Nobody's going to support her there. She'd probably be dead in a week.
Well, I tell you, I am against a lot of the chemicals that we put out in our food, in our water, in everything we build. I don't think it's healthy. Obviously, if you start your car and you put it in the garage and you sit there for about 15 minutes, you're not going to be doing too well health-wise. You'll probably be dead. So obviously, that's not a good thing. And I will say, I think, although I do believe Donald Trump is the only person stepping up for America and for our country, I will also say he's not stopping 5G. He has to keep pushing it to keep up with China. China has about, they're like 10 times ahead of us with 5G. As far as the towers and their networking compared to us. And Vietnam, I believe, is the other place that's right. It's like they have half as much as them, I believe, but we're way behind. However, because this relates to AI, it relates to the chipping people, it relates to the mark of the beast, the end of the world, whether you believe the Bible thing or not, just believe Elon Musk. He believes that we have to chip people in the brains, and we see it coming. It's like The Matrix. It's like all these movies, Terminator. It's all about the end of the world. So anyone who's not fighting that stuff, we need a champion. I mean, we need someone to step in there, step up the game.
I wanted to congratulate you, Don. I mean, John. We all went 47 minutes without saying the word Donald Trump.
Yes. And
Go ahead.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be fixed. But in the meantime, unfortunately, if we do go back to Pony Express and that kind of tech, no electricity, there's no way we can keep up with the world and be a presence. So it's kind of a catch-22.
We couldn't do that now, knowing the dangers of horse farts.
People will die. We'll starve. People will be, there'll be no work to do. And so we have to rethink, how are we going to move forward? Are we going balls to the walls, pedal to the metal?
Is there a way that, I just want to read two sentences. The transition to new fifth generation cellular networks known as 5G will affect many kinds of devices, including industrial robots, security cameras, drones, cars, and sending traffic data to one to another. This will leap ahead certain technology by offering mobile internet speeds that will let people download movies, blah, 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 blah. So is there a way ever is there anything in the world that could damage internet communication or 5G technology? Like, is there a way to sabotage it?
Well, that's the problem with Huawei. They are bringing out the 5G, and it's got back doors to it where they are able to access information at will. So it's kind of like Alexa and Google Home and those things where they are on 24 hours a day, and every piece of information that they collect is unknown. To the person who owns it.
Well, also along with that thought, anything you've typed, emailed, any record, anything electronic, Google has it. I mean, there's some areas where maybe they have 80% or 60%, but people like me, probably in L.A., they've got every little website I've been on, every message I've sent, every text, they have it all. And in fact, if you guys know, but yesterday or so, 48 of our states have filed an antitrust against Google. They're going to investigate them, see if they can break them up, because they realize they control everything, over 90% of all advertising and the way information is handled. And they control the way elections go. They influence between 2 to 15 million votes because they can show what searches show up. They can give you notices, hey, today, vote. They can say, oh, so-and-so is doing great in the polls. So-and-so is doing bad in the polls. And they select and choose, what algorithms to affect, what people to affect. And they study this. This is what they do. So this is going to be a major thing. You'll see this between now and the election. There's going to be a lot of fighting over this because it's the next election will be World War III. I mean, we're talking about people fighting for their lives. There's a Republican congressman. He's been around for years. Got arrested on child porn. You had the Pittsburgh Pirates all-star baseball pitcher arrested for texting a 13-year-old. She's 15 now, but they arrested him. He's like, boom, just lock him up. And you're going to see a lot of stuff. The Epstein thing is just warming up. It's warming up and it's bubbling. And you'll see more and more of these things slowly leaked. And, you know, it's just a show. Get the popcorn, you know. Don't fight it. You know, research it. Just look into it, you know. See what the truth is.
Right. So the
Here's another one, by the way. Ed Buck. Ed Buck was a major DNC contributor, and three different African American males have died over the last couple of years from meth overdoses and combinations of drugs, engaged in sexual acts, and it took the third one that didn't get away. I'm sorry, two died. The third one got away. Just a few weeks ago, and went to the, you know, they went to the hospital and the police, and that's how come he got arrested. Otherwise, Ed Buck would be running around. Ed Buck knows a lot of stories and a lot of people, and they put him into, you know, they arrested him. What's going to happen to him? Is he going to get the Epstein treatment? Because he's good friends with, you know, not just the Clintons, everyone.
Who was that
DNC
person you mentioned?
Ed Buck, major contributor, DNC party. And they knew for the last couple of years. Oh, he picks up, he's in, I think, in Hollywood area. He's close to Adam Schiff. And they know each other very, very well. And so all these people know about him. Think about that. They knew. And he would take, you know, pick up, you know, black men and give them drugs, shoot them up with, you know, get them all high. And then start doing, you know, S&M, bondage, whatever, having his way with them. And then they would die, and they would say, oh, they just overdosed in his house. But this guy got away, and he tried to catch him. And he made it to either a hospital or 911 or whatever. And that's the only reason this came out big time. And this just happened, you know, within the last couple of weeks. So...
You know what's similar to him is another Ed Murray from Seattle. He was the Seattle mayor. Same kind of guy, same kind of things. He got away with it and kept getting away with it until it happened again. And then pretty soon everybody was like, well, maybe there's something to it. It's not just a political thing where people are attacking him. He's actually like, these people are not going to stop. And one of his accusers was wound up dead, and then he resigned. So he just disappeared. Ed Murray's gone. Now there's a new mayor, but nobody ever says the name Ed Murray. He never faced any justice.
Mm-hmm.
He's connected.
We still haven't heard about Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, you know, think about this. If you and I robbed a bank and I got arrested and, you know, got killed in prison, it's like we have an arrested partner in crime. Like, there's a deal. What's the deal? Something's going on with that one. Rachel Chandler. There was Rachel Chandler, the handler, and there's also three or four girls that used to do the Epstein thing. They've been shooting drones, flying drones over his place, checking out his residence. So there's more investigations coming.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I wanted to mention that I didn't get to.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that it's going to be a nice, long path to the election.
Yes.
So
ahead, Ben.
So about Greta and how she rose to fame so quickly. There's the opposite of her, who the media is suppressing. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Scott Pressler. He's famous for going around city to city and cleaning up trash. The latest one he just did was in LA, and him and his small little crew, I think for 9 hours, went to somewhere, I don't know if it was in Skid Row or close to it, but they showed before and after pictures in 9 hours, they picked up 50 tons of trash, and the media won't cover him. And Google is doing their part to try to suppress it. If you Google him, it's hard to find. Like, I mean, of course he's famous now, but doing a Google search on Scott Pressler cleanup, the first result on Google is a junk removal service. Has nothing to do with him. He's been traveling the whole country cleaning up.
Oh, by the way, Albert's online. What do you mean by a jump? What did you mean by that last statement?
Junk.
A garbage removal service?
Yeah. So they're
okay.
Suppressing what he's doing.
Okay.
So if Greta really wanted to make a difference, she should have teamed up with him and actually got her hands dirty and cleaned up some garbage. He's actually doing something.
Well, I think without giving her much credit or non-credit, cause the thing is that her popularity ascended by her opportunities of speeches, which you guys say in so many words were coordinated by her connections through her parents. It just happened. No matter how it happened, and now she's a household name. So she's kind of like the poster child for climate change, you know. And she still can be a good force. I don't know if she's going to be cleaning garbage up. Maybe she's too cocky for that now. But I'm sure she'd be willing to go pick cans off the side of the road.
Well, it's admirable, and in fact, there's a lot of good stuff. You know, recycling isn't bad, and, you know, using less fossil fuel, it's not bad. It's good. People should get on their bicycles and ride around. The problem is, it's called a false flag, and that is, how do you manipulate people? You create a disaster, right? It's like the JFK assassination. It's like, look here, you know, only look at Oswald. Don't look over there. Don't look at the grassy knoll or wherever. Or don't look at the magic bullet. How did that just show up out of nowhere? How come
you
fired so many shots that you can't do? They could never duplicate the speed because it's not fast enough to shoot so many shots in such a time. The point of what I'm saying is these are. It's like it's a disaster. The world's going to end. Oh my goodness! I better stop this or that. Well, who's in charge of the solar company? Who's in charge of the police? You know, network that enforces these rules. Who gets the kickbacks from the UN, from the Red Cross, when there's a tragedy? That's the problem. If people get caught in the chaos of the Titanic, the Titanic was on fire before it launched. It had a fire in the coal-burning section of the ship.
Just so I worked for the Red Cross, and they had plenty of controversy about what percentage of money went into the actual disaster, you know. I have to bring Albert in now, you guys. He's been on hold 4 minutes.
I can tell you, there's a picture with one of the, like with the Haiti, a couple other places where they have a room filled with Red Cross kind of like supply kit, first aid kit, and the bosses are nothing but cash. We're talking $100 bill stacks. We're talking like a stock room. I'm just millions of dollars.
Well, I have information because I actually worked at the Red Cross for 2.5 years at one of the largest chapters, L.A. So there was a lot of controversy about how much was for overhead costs, how much went to the actual. They got fined, and like when during Hurricane Hugo and the San Francisco earthquake of 1989, there was a controversy, and they had to pay some money back. But now I don't remember the details. Albert, I'm trying to pull you in, but my internet is slow. So someone keep talking till I can get him on.
Well, there was the issue with Ukraine with the Crimea and with all the fighting, and the UN said, let's give them $17 billion over 4 years. And they gave them up to $8 billion, and at the $8 billion mark, This is during the Burisma Biden Hunter Biden controversy that's starting to come out now. They said after $8 billion, they said, you know what? This is going to the leaders. It's not going to help anyone, and they stopped it. And that's the problem you have anywhere, whether it's Haiti, Puerto Rico, all these different places.
Hey, John got cut off. You guys, can the rest of you guys hear me?
Oh, let me restate.
John, you had a 20-second gap. Albert, I have to restart my computer so I can bring you in. So be patient. I'm going to set my phone down in a minute, guys, so run the show.
With Ukraine in Crimea, the UN promised to give $17 billion during the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden controversy with Burisma. And so over 4 years, they're going to give $17 billion. Well, $8 billion got passed out, and then they started realizing.
Albert, you're on the air. Go ahead, John.
This money, the $8 billion they gave, it's not going to help anyone. It's going to the leaders. They're pocketing it. So they stopped it. And this is the problem you have with Haiti, Puerto Rico, the Dominican. Whenever there's a crisis, you have the first, the Red Cross. You've got different charities, global foundations going out there. Where does the money go? You'll see some photo ops. Here's a tent with some, water. And here's a little temporary shelter we set up. Where's the other, billions of dollars and millions of dollars going? Well, it's going in the pockets of people. And
Have Albert, let's say hi to Albert first, you guys. Who would like to say hi to him?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
How are we going?
Not much.
Everything's fine.
Just calling to support, make sure I'm here to support.
And you are a good supporter, and I'm sorry for the late notice, but I had napped tonight. And I didn't get a message out to you until 5 minutes before the show.
No problem.
So tonight we were talking about what our career goals were, and then we transferred into current events or climate change and the UNESCO agenda. And John and Ben are primarily speaking about that. So, John, why don't you give them a recap of what we're talking about?
Oh, sure. So basically we're talking about how people are being used, children, students, politicians that go out, or celebrities that are going out and saying, hey, we got to save the planet. You see it all the time. You go to the store, mommy wants to get a plastic bag, and the child will go, mommy, we got to save the planet. And like I was telling the audience, it's like I've never seen a 10-year-old kid say global warming is a hoax. It's a fraud, or there's counter data to it. There's a balance to it. No, the kids believe the world's going to die in 2 years because that's all they hear on the news. And they go to school, their teachers are teaching. I talk to teachers every day, and they go, oh, yeah, I got to help these kids and, let them know we got to save the planet. And that's good. I'm with them. But the science, the data is very skewed. You were going to comment on Ben?
Yeah, about that. So in the lesson plan that the teachers get through the UNESCO guidelines, they actually implement the climate change agenda into almost every subject in school whatsoever. So if it's a math class, they'll put into the textbook, they'll make the kids do math based on a climate argument. They'll make the kids calculate something that's it's a scripted math equation. And if they're talking about English or history or economics, all of it has the agenda laced throughout it. Every single category. So no wonder these kids are so afraid. It's because it's every subject, every class that they go to has the agenda somewhere in it or throughout it for the whole year.
Yeah, Ben, I have a comment on that. So I'm today in the newspaper, Dave Bowe and I are submissions for the Duluth Public School Board is in there, and we had three questions. Why do you want to become a member? What skills and experience can you bring? And how would you represent our diversity? So I want to answer this, what a woman named Sarah Blix wrote, because I think this is over the top as far as what you're saying about indoctrination. She says, how would you represent our diverse district community? I believe Duluth community is unique in the area in which Duluth spans is so big that while we have a lot of diversity, including different cultures, social and ethnic backgrounds, sexual orientations, genders, and religion, there are a lot of children at the elementary level that never get to experience it at all before entering middle school. I feel our educational system is not fully embracing in how it shares everyone's cultural differences, especially the ones that may not be part of that specific school. So she goes on to say that she thinks diversity should be taught at the preschool age, including gay and gender rights. Like, now, see, I disagree with that because I'm a Christian, and I don't think homosexuality should be promoted at a preschool age and learning about gender bender causes.
No.
What do you guys
think? They're actually trying to sexualize kids before they're fully developed, which is actually could be considered abuse.
Yeah, because then some kids, like we had a fifth grader last year with short hair who dressed like a boy, and she wanted to be called an alternative pronoun. And really, she's only 11 years old. She really doesn't know what she's doing. She's just following a trend. It's not an innate. It's a taught thought process. It's not innate.
I think somebody's on speakerphone because I can hear an echo of the show.
Yeah, who's ever on speakerphone, you can listen from a muted point of view, but my phone was starting to echo, and I'm on a land phone, and I'm the same as Ben. I noticed right away the change in dynamics.
Oh, it's gone now. Gone now. It's fine now.
Okay, so just so you guys know, I don't have to work too early, but I don't really want to do the show past 90 minutes tonight. So if I run out of energy, I need to appoint somebody to take over. And I'm pretty sure that John can't be on the work phone too much. John?
Is Don still on the line?
Everybody's still on the air. Earth to Don, senior citizen Gallimore.
Hit the hay, kick the bucket.
Sometimes he snores on the air. But I don't hear heavy breathing tonight.
So
hello,
Albert,
Don.
Have you heard this? Have you heard this stuff when you're in school, even in the these classes that you've been taking, Albert? Have they tried to turn it into some bigger agenda?
Well, my high school was in the late 90s, but then I finally decided to go to college. Started going to college in 2010, basically. And I already graduated college, but I'm still taking some extra classes to learn some stuff on the side right now. But there's nothing of that nature in at least at the college that I go to. I mean, in middle school, I never heard of that, but I mean, when you're talking about that in such a young age, when exactly was the term teaching? They were teaching it in middle school?
Yeah, they're doing so even in the UNESCO guidelines, there's a lot of gender nonconformity and teaching people how to address climate justice and social justice without being gender specific.
Right.
So
they have,
however the hell that works.
They have green day.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm talking about the homosexuality class you guys were talking about. I mean, that class, I mean, that should not be taught at least until you're in high school. I mean, you know, try to get your own self-opinions before you get, you know, I mean, before the teacher tells you what to think or anything like that, you know. Because if you're, I mean, at a young age, you, of course, the younger you are, the vulnerable you are to misleading information, you know. So, I mean, it should wait at least to high school.
Yeah, the problem is when you talk to, say, 3,000 scientists that believe one way, but then there's 10,000 that believe another way, and they don't mention that, you know. That's the problem, is when you're just showing one side of the conversation. A child will accept certain things, just like if you program a child to believe as a Christian or as a Muslim or as a Buddhist. That's fine if, as you raise your child, but if you indoctrinate them at school that this is the only viewpoint, you know, just same as the kids in, say, China, they think capitalism is terrible. We're bad. It's evil, you know. So you have to balance that out. Like, we're paying, like, I as a taxpayer am paying for how they educate children. So I should have a voice on what I want them to share with. You know, share both sides. You know, share about the climate of the planet's been changing for thousands of years, and it's basically affected by the sun and by, you know, the water oxygen content vapor in the air. Regardless of what we do. Now, can we poison it? Yeah, it's bad, but that doesn't affect the major climate. You know, we had an ice age. We didn't have cars back then. You know, we have warming periods throughout history, droughts and famines, natural disasters. We've had these for hundreds of years. It's not affected by what we do. You know, fires across the planet, half the planet can burn up. And it's going to do that naturally with lightning and grass fires. We're going to, Santa Ana's are coming up here in L.A. You're going to see a fire, and it's going to go all the way from Santa Barbara down to Malibu. We do it every year. It's going to be way more greenhouse effect than our cars. That's just nature. You know, the planet adjusts to that. So there's got to be some balance in it all.
By the way, you guys, I'm back on the air. I finished what I had to do, but just go ahead then. That's all I had to say. I do have to revise the show content, though, so if someone could talk the next 3 minutes, that would be helpful.
I'm good.
Go ahead. I have to revise the show content, so could you guys carry the show for 4 minutes while I'm doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Including Don?
So,
go ahead.
So the Biden thing is kind of coming together. It's pretty interesting. John, you were in the middle of explaining that, how it all started. It's kind of like a boomerang. They're trying to, since this quote whistleblower came out, we don't know much about the whistleblower, but it's bringing the issue right back to the front. So it's going to be worse for Biden than it could ever have been for Trump. So it's like a boomerang effect, right? Am I the only one here?
You talking about Joe Biden?
Yeah. Yeah, his the deal with the Ukraine for his son. And with China.
Yeah.
I think he made a deal with China too. But he's screwed.
Yeah. I remember Joe Biden. The most thing I remember more is his pictures and videos where he'll touch a girl and then she doesn't want to be touched by him. And so people were saying that Joe Biden was a creep. Touch women when they didn't want to be touched.
Believe it or not, recently he was the front runner of the Democrat Party, so he's probably done now with all of this stuff. He might be prosecuted, but now it's most likely going to be Elizabeth Warren.
Joe Biden will favor across the Democrat Party. Just like Hillary Clinton. I mean, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. I mean, back then, the higher ups from the Democrat Party, they loved Joe Biden, And then in 2016, they were all over Hillary Clinton, and those obviously are the favorite. You see how much when the super delegates were all voting for, Joe Biden or the Hillary Clinton during the Hillary Clinton's time, they're the top number one that the higher ups want, instead of people like Bernie Sanders. I mean, Bernie Sanders ran 2016 and is running this year as well, but they're ignoring him. They don't want him to win. So they'll allow him to run the Democrat Party, but they won't let him win.
Yeah, well, the reason why they want him is because he's so stupid and corrupt. He's so corrupt, but he will basically sell out our country. So China wants him, globalists want him, because he'll do anything they want. He's not a patriot. He's not a nationalist. He doesn't care if we fail. He'll make us fail.
Are you talking about Joe Biden?
Yep.
Joe Biden started out as a simpleton, supporting labor causes when the world was different. I don't think he's intentionally malicious.
Nah, he's too culture. I mean, look at his family. See where it comes from.
I just think that, he was a good old boy from the Upper East Coast. Back when unions and stuff were powerful, he's from Scranton, Pennsylvania, where all that stuff about the iron ore and steel industry, he was protecting the everyday worker. And now the whole world has changed dramatically. In some ways, I agree with Albert, I don't think he's representative of the youth culture and all the stuff that needs to be addressed in our nation these days. Can somebody in their 50s run, for God's sake? We have all these 70-year-olds running, Bernie, Elizabeth, Trump. Like, I want somebody in their 50s.
The minimum requirements, 35 and up? So you have to be 35 and up if you want to run for president.
Well, I guess Buttigieg is in his younger years. But as John points out, Buttigieg is gay. Only 2% of our nation is gay. And I don't think a lot of evangelical Christians are going to appoint a gay president or elect a gay president.
Yeah,
I mean, do you guys think that's a hindrance? Do you think it's a political calling card that he's gay? Or is it a detriment to Pete Buttigieg? Because besides him being gay, he has a lot of other good credentials.
Well, I think most people, for the most part, most people don't care if he's gay or straight. As long as they represent their political issues, they desire.
In your generation, you guys aren't so judgmental because a lot of you guys were not raised in a traditional Christian religion, where the Bible says emphatically that you should not go after your own flesh. But Ben, how does that gay issue affect you? Because just like John and I were debating abortion Saturday night on the air, like, how much control does government really have over people in their sexual choices? But, however, I mentioned that it is affecting the education school agenda.
Yeah, it's making us stupider as a nation because they're spending more time on social engineering than they are on reading, writing, and arithmetic and actual history.
John, mute yourself, for God's sake. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
You know, well, our study system is based on formity, you look at other countries and, you know, people are graduating and going to the workforce at a younger age and we're taking longer because our school system is based on forming. Obviously, if it takes you like 20 years to finally get the graduation and get that job or something like that, you're going to be formed to do what they say and not do.
In other words, you don't have independent critical thinking skills. You're just a cog in a machine going through the system.
Conformity.
Yeah, conformity. You're conforming to what you know. Like, you're conforming to that. See, let's just say you're going to college to be a constructor, you take the constructing 4 year or 6 year, you graduate, you know, finally. And you become that, right? And then once you start working, you start from the bottom, you gotta climb up. But you can't just right in the middle of that say, hey, you know what, I wanna quit and I wanna be a doctor, because then if you wanna be a doctor, guess what? You gotta go back to school, and especially a doctor, you have to go back to school for like 8 years to try to be a doctor, and then you gotta do all these years of experience before you even get a job and whatnot and these things. And the processes are very long and daunting, a little bit more longer than they, well, in some cases way more longer than they really have to be. And that's what you call conforming. When you put somebody, let's just say you put somebody in prison for 20 years without that person being guilty, and until he finally breaks and say, okay, it's true, whatever you say, it's true, and then you can finally convict that person, you know. I mean, they actually
One
do
thing
that
I wanted
United
to
States.
Point out based on what you were talking about is it seems like with all the school shootings and stuff, what Ben was talking about is they between K and 12, they spend a lot of times in American schools on social engineering and making kids feel comfortable and welcome. Our school counselor, we have like one pep rally every 2 weeks. We have kudos we pass out to encourage good behavior with kids. We have positive referrals. Like the school, I work at an elementary school, but there's a lot of emphasis placed on belongingness and welcoming because there's so many kids. Like one day a lady brought her kid to school and the kid was hungry because her debit card didn't work in the store, and the kid cried because she was hungry. Like, there's a lot of social problems that the school has to face. And it's not like Japan where it's all performance-based and they're sitting there 10 hours a day doing math problems. Like, a lot of time is spent on inclusiveness.
Well, yeah, but high school is basically, if the kid's not learning, it's the teacher's fault. The college is, if the guy's not learning, it's his own fault, not the teacher's fault. You know, so college and high school are really different. Like, and, you know, the kid is not doing his homework. I mean, literally, I mean, I literally passed high school classes without doing no homework whatsoever, and I still passed with a C, you know. Versus college, I did all my homework. I did everything I was supposed to, and I barely passed with a C. So, you know, I mean, college and high school.
But your college curriculum was very hands-on, like you were in automotive. It's not doing abstract scientific theory.
I usually just pass with a B. I mean an A. I usually just pass with an A in automotive. But I'm not.
But if you were in
like
something
my,
like economics
English
or science,
math classes,
you pass with
really
a C.
On me.
Yes.
No, in automotive I usually pass with an A, but in my math and English, and some of those classes I was struggling with a C. You know, I did get a B in some English and math classes, but for the most part, some of them I was struggling with a C, and I was doing all my homework and everything. But anyways, like I said, like college and high school are different. Like I said, high school, if the student doesn't learn, it's the teacher's fault. College, if the student doesn't learn, it's the student's fault. And here's another thing, too, because, you know, in college, it's complete. Let's just say, if you come into class and the teacher doesn't like the shirt that you're wearing, like he doesn't like the color of the shirt you're wearing, he could call security and have you kicked out. And then you could say, oh well, you know, he's kicked me off of that. And he could say whatever he wants. He's like, well, I don't want him in my class anyways. It's my class. And security says, well, you know, it is his class. So you're going to have to leave, you know, and you could probably, you know, take it even to the dean of the college, and they could say, well, we're going to do an investigation, which usually takes a couple of years. And the meanwhile, you know, when it takes a really long time, they never even get to it in most cases, because the teacher, you have to go to the teacher's union for any reason, because all the teachers at the colleges are all, you know, unionized with the teacher union. And they're so powerful. And so a lot of the teachers at the college have gotten away for ridiculous things. And so, you know, but at the high school,
I agree.
Level, that's all different.
I do have a comment to make. Ben, John, and Don, I have to close the show out in 15 minutes. Does anyone have a direct comment for Albert?
No.
And I agree with some of the things, most of the things he said. Does anyone have specifics?
Sorry,
well, my
what?
Take on that, Albert, is I had a lot of leverage in grad school. I was only going, a lot of the times I only went part-time, and I was able to keep up with my homework, and I didn't have any transportation issues. But a lot of kids start out in college so they can get the extra money to live on, and then they end up dropping out. So I think if the person is dedicated, they can complete their degree. But for some people, like my son, it was a hardship. Now, tonight we've covered a lot of topics on globalism, education agendas, and career choices. Would anyone like to make a conclusion? Albert, you seem to be
no.
The only one who wants to talk right now. But I do need some response by John or Don.
Sorry.
I think John's back on the floor and he can't talk. So basically,
yeah.
I do think it was a viable discussion tonight, but the show is ending in a few minutes. So if anybody has any input regarding the three topics we covered, career choices and planning, UNESCO, and globalism, I'd be happy to hear them before I close the show out. Okay, well, thanks for joining us, you guys, and I'll see you guys on, I'll be texting you on Sunday then, okay? God bless you all.
All right.
God bless
Sounds
you.
Good.
Good night.
Have a good one.
Yes, John?
I guess I didn't get kicked off or muted all night.
No, and I'm saving your frozen sperm in my freezer. That's a joke,
right.
Inside joke. Hey, John, can you check your email? I sent you some money through green.com, and you have to receive it.
Okay. Just don't microwave my sperm. I don't want a two-headed kid.
I might. Maybe I'll merge it with a radical leftist.
So
we'll
would
have,
two people have to adopt it?
Say what?
Would
I mean,
two
the
families
Luminati's
have to
gonna
adopt it?
I was.
So,
I have a. You guys, I have a topic for Sunday night. If we clone a great president like FDR or JFK, then maybe we could groom him like that Dolly, the clone sheep, so we don't have to go through another presidential cycle.
Yeah, we just clone Trump.
If I could clone him, it'd be a
lot. If we clone Trump, we eliminate the hair. I'm not looking at his hairdo for another 4 years.
I would end up with a kid that's right-handed that has leftist tendencies.
And we have to think of a name, John. Comrade Hoffman Yoder.
I could teach him Russian.
Maybe on one of our shows we can talk about left-handed discrimination.
Possibly. So let's end this show with a good night from Russia. Dobra noche. You guys say good night in your own language.
Good night.
All right, see y'all later. Bye. I'll play one of John's songs. I'm going to play one of John's songs to end the show, okay? Good night.
Okay.
Good night. Good night.
Can't help you when you're old. She's got the cushion for the pushing of the love so true. When she's talking to me, I know she's looking at you. She says there is no other, no need to question why. She's always on the phone talking to another.
Good night, John. Bye-bye.
Good night, Abu.
Good night, John.
Good night, John. Thank you for staying.
Good night, my superior
brother. Go ahead, John.
Good night, my superior black brother.
John, I'll be in, I mean, Don, I'll be in San Francisco for Thanksgiving.
All right. Well,
and John, I'll be in L.A. for Christmas.
Oh, nice. It'll be a red Christmas.
Yep, DHS, Notified Department of Homeland Security.
But remember,
okay,
you
John, we'll talk
the...
about it later. Have a good night, you guys.
Okay,
bye-bye.
But you can't fly. You cannot fly by plane because it's global warming. You'll have to use either a solar-powered bicycle in winter.
I'm using the $60 you sent me to buy a car to drive across the country. Okay, bye-bye.